I'm Josh Robinson.
And I'm Rob Elliott.
And we are Everyday iRacers.
Yeah, everyday as in I'm just an ordinary iRacer rather than I'm iRacing every day.
Sometimes we race every day, but we're just average guys that like iRacing.
That's the point, yeah.
Daytona. Daytona was kind of the big thing that we spent all our time on in the iRacing world this past week, because the IMSA races were at Daytona, which was obviously planned by iRacing, but gave us a lot of track time and led up to Friday night for you and I, and I think Saturday morning for our friends in Australia, start of the race, 24-hour race.
Yep. We usually start these episodes talking about the week before, and that was the whole week, getting ready for Daytona 24, my first 24-hour endurance race.
Yeah, and mine as well. I think one of our teammates had done 24-hour Nürburgring, but for the rest of us, it was the first 24-hour race.
So an awful lot of preparation for it. I got more and more nervous as the week went on. I mean, there was an awful lot of practice that we did and a lot of organization and checklists being made. And, you know, we did a bunch of things to get ready as a team to compete. But leading up to Friday night, I was getting nervous.
I think, yeah, because we wanted to do well. Didn't want to let down your teammates and wreck the car. You know, that was going through my head.
Exactly.
I think everybody's.
You know, one of the things I want to talk about is how we got our team together in the first place to run Daytona 24. You know, I was in an iRacing session this week. It was just one other guy in the session. And so we were chatting a little bit on the iRacing service push to talk thing. And, you know, I asked him if he was doing the Daytona 24, and he was suggesting, I'd like to. I don't know where to find a team. How do you find a team? And he started asking me lots of questions. And then some other people joined the session, and I didn't get into it with him. But it made me think about, there's a lot of people out there that are looking to have the same kind of experience, get on a team, do a big endurance race. How do you do it?
And I know, like, in different forums, like on the Reddit forum, there was a, hey, who's looking for a team? Hey, who's looking for drivers? So there were posts like that people could have responded to. And you kind of see someone say, hey, I run this car normally. I'll run whatever you guys are running. I have this I rating, this safety rating, you know, let me know.
So are these the iRacing forums or the Reddit forums? Or?
Yeah, the Reddit sub, they call it the subreddit for iRacing. So there's thousands of people that are on that. And yeah, it's like-minded people, obviously. I'm sure in the official iRacing forums, there was something similar. I didn't look.
Now, we also participate to some extent with some other groups on Discord. You know, we've mentioned Dave Sampson, who does the YouTube videos. And so we've been pretty active on his Discord. And they, just as an example, they run a whole bunch of endurance teams, and you can sign up and that kind of stuff. We can talk more about we can get Dave on, and he could talk about the community that he's building. But anyway, there are lots of communities like that out there where you can join up and put your name on lists and, you know, get help for your first endurance race and that kind of stuff. That's how you and I did our first endurance race.
Yeah, I think some really, you know, nice guys from that community jumped in. I think you put the feelers out like, hey, we're going to do this. We need a little bit of help. And we had folks from England or the Netherlands kind of just sitting with us as we did. What did we do? A 3-hour race. Yeah. Just kind of guided us and talked about etiquette and best practices and all those things.
I was shaking in my boots.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Was it Indianapolis?
Indianapolis.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was Indianapolis. So that's one way to do it. You know, we have our own Discord channel. Our team is RaceX SimSport, and we just had a group of guys that we hang out and chat with when we are on iRacing throughout the week. And we were all sort of like-minded and decided that we would do this endurance race together. So five of us got together to do it under the RaceX umbrella. And one of the Australian guys was sort of new to our team, but it was awesome. Like, I'm in the Pacific time zone, you're Eastern time zone. Two of these guys are in Australia. We're all over the place, but we still found the time to get together to run some practice together and to chit chat and to get organized. It was a good team effort.
Yeah, it's interesting when you have people literally all across the globe. So it was all different time zones, but we all kind of made that effort to jump on, hang out, get to know each other for those of us that were just kind of meeting. And because you're going to spend 24 hours hanging out, and you have to trust the other people if they're the spotter or something like that. But it's a lot of fun and great, great group.
It was a lot of fun. So leading up to prep for this, well, one of the big things we did was some races. You can't get much better practice than that. Multi-class.
Yeah, agree. Because you want to learn the track. You want to learn the track under duress, right? With, like you're saying, multi-class cars kind of coming up behind you. If you're running, for example, in our case, a GTE. So you want to get that practice under your belt on that track. And that gave us a chance to do that. We ran the 911 RSR.
We were going to run the Corvette.
We were, yeah. I think you and I had come in saying, hey, let's run the 911. And then another one of our teammates had put out there the Corvette. I think you felt, after you ran the Corvette, felt it was pretty stable. But then we had a team discussion. I think you stepped out of the room to go run some laps or something. The rest of us had a team discussion and said, hold on, if we were to switch, what would we switch to? You know, we all wanted to drive the Porsche. And I think you kind of came around to that.
Friday night, a couple of beers kind of conversation I think you guys had. Let's just change cars on Rob 1 week before the race. Anyway, so how did the week start out for you? How are you feeling about it 1 week out?
I think 1 week out, I'd run some races in the ESS series the prior week, and it didn't go really well. You know, I finished and I was starting to learn the track, but I think you and I went out and did we go around the track?
Yeah. This is sort of the weekend before. We finished European sprint and then the team started doing laps and you were several seconds off and you were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think I was running like 145s, 146s or something like that. And you guys were all running 43s, maybe 42s. Anyways, I was a few seconds off. So, you know, buckled down with VRS. You and I went out and you kind of gave me a mini coaching sessions and yeah, tightened it up a little bit. Got a couple six places that I felt good about. Felt good about until our friend Lee on the team won a race.
Yeah.
And so, awesome. But yeah, held up my spot on the team, learned the track. Feel good about the track now.
Yeah. Well, you sure did.
Yeah. So Rob, what kind of stuff were you doing to prepare? You came in, you know, you knew the track, you were pretty fast on the track, but what kind of final prep?
I was looking forward to doing the IMSA races and it was a disaster. Started the week out. It was terrible. I don't know what to say. I didn't have a great experience the week before with the European sprint. It sounds like every time we talk about our previous week on this podcast, it's been a downward trajectory. But anyway, I spun out leading on to the sort of the back straight, which is, you know, people do that. Was rejoining the track nice and patiently, driving down the apron, just picking up speed, waiting for the corner to finish so that I could gently come back on the track. And a guy wiped me out when I'm driving down in the apron. I don't exactly know how that happens, but middle of the race, a guy absolutely clobbered me going 200 kilometers an hour when I was down on the apron. So that was one race gone. And then another race, same sort of thing. It was just, I was really struggling. And then my anxiety started to ramp up because, you know, we put together this team. We had expectations for finishing the Daytona 24. And I have not shown anybody that I had the capacity to do that. So anyway, like you, did a little VRS practice, kept at it, and the consistency came. And then we all kind of showed up sort of ready to go, all pretty consistent. And gee, our last practice session, it was amazing. I think, well, we were all in the practice session and then you looked at the standings and we were stacked on top of one another and we were all within like a tenth of a second of one another. So we were all on board and we were all feeling like we were pretty safe drivers.
I felt really good. I needed a little confidence boost going into the race. And in our last practice session, actually topped the charts out of all of our teammates. And so again, doesn't happen that often, but it was a nice little confidence boost. So I felt good going in because I always say, hey, my thing is safety. And I was kind of proud of the fact that I think I'd run close to 200 laps across four or so IMSA races without a single 4X, just some 1Xs for off track. But that was my claim to fame, but I didn't quite have the pace. So I was glad to end the practice week on a high and feel like I could hold my own during the race.
Yeah. And I ended my week on a high too. I did a race on Thursday night and had a good result. You know, it gave me the confidence boost I needed to lead up to Daytona. And I didn't do any more racing after that. I just needed to end it all on a high note and wait for race day.
And I looked on the iSchedule app right now and you finished third last race.
So I went into Daytona 24 thinking about the team being in a pretty good spot. We had practiced quite a bit. We were well organized. We were all pretty safe. Felt pretty good about it.
Another thing that we had to do to prep was get a livery ready. And I think I raised my hand and said I would do that. Then finally on Tuesday, I kind of said, all right, how about this? I posted a livery and everyone said it worked.
It was awesome. Yeah, I think it was a beautiful looking car. And I especially liked the personal touch of having our names and country flags riding up on the top of the door. It was a nice touch. So race day came along and one of our teammates streamed the race on Twitch. I thought that was awesome because I was able to share the link with some friends and my parents and my brothers. You know, it was good. They hear me talking about iRacing. And you know, I think that they probably think for the most part that I'm sitting around playing a video game. But they were able to watch the race. My father was, you know, working in his workshop on like race day, and he sort of had it in the background listening to us talk, because you can pick up the Discord feed of our team chatting with one another. So he wasn't necessarily watching the race. And he called me up after the race and he was saying, "Hey, congratulations, guys. I mean, you sounded like you were really working well as a team. I didn't realize there was so much to it. I can't believe you guys need to worry about your tire changes and your damage and all of your checklists and everything. Like, it was really, really impressive. You guys sounded like you were really well organized." So I'm really happy that I was able to share that with my family.
Yeah, I sent the link out to family and some friends. And I think if nothing else, I played a little bit of the stream back just to see some parts of the race actually today. And listening to us talk, I mean, yeah, it does sound like, I don't want to say a professional race team, but it sounds like some guys that were having fun, but they were taking it seriously and kind of thinking through strategy. And it was more interesting to watch our stream than some of the big name racers, because you couldn't hear the radio. You couldn't hear the sort of the behind the scenes on some of those big streams like Fernando Alonso and Rubens. All you could see was them driving, which was amazing, but it would have been so much more compelling to kind of hear what they were going through and trying to figure out if they were going to do the tire change or double stint or, you know, whatever. So I think that makes it more interesting to hear us work through all that. And if nothing else, it highlights that it's more than just a game. It is a simulation. And in order to try to win the race, you have to work together as a team.
So race day came up. Our teammate Marcelo qualified 14th. I think we were sort of mid-split.
We weren't in the bottom. We were definitely closer to the middle.
Yep. And Marcelo started the race and he had to avoid mini sort of pile up and turn two or turn three, had to drive off into the grass, sort of skim the wall a little bit, safely got back on track. But we sort of started the race in 25th place or something like that. So from that point on, it was fight is on, right? That being said, how did you feel about your stints overall?
Yeah, I think I jumped in the car next, ran two stints. So that's roughly 2 hours. And I think by the time I got back in the car and drove, I was watching part of this back today, was 18th, passed the guy for 17th. I got a couple more spots back. So hand it off to you and you took it from there.
I did two stints after that and I was pretty nervous going into it. But jeepers, I think that those were some of the best 2 hours of racing I've ever done. Like, we went from whatever position we were in, I think we went from 12th position to 8th position, but it was fighting. And it was awesome. Felt really, really good. Felt proud of myself and to get us to that point and to hand it off. And then I basically went to bed after that. Woke up in the morning and after handing it off to Matthew, and then after Matthew, our two Aussies to sort of take us through North American evening, got up, flipped open in my bed the Twitch feed to sort of see where we were in the standings, and we were continuing to get higher and higher in the standings. So
our Aussie friends Lee and Marcelo got us up to third overnight. When I woke up in the morning a couple hours before you did, that's where we were. But yeah, had a solid third for part of it. And I think when I got in, we were down to fifth and held that kind of throughout the morning.
You can give it up now. You can tell everybody's listening at the end. That's,
yeah. We did. We held that fifth all the way to the end.
And it was an incredible finish, really. I mean, it was really impressive. First time as a team, and there were 33 GTEs that started the race, and we came in fifth in our split, and we didn't really have any damage. I mean, a few 30-second repairs that we could do alongside tire changes, that kind of stuff, but a little bit of aero damage here or there, but nothing significant. Now, what's the deal on the real 24-hour of Daytona?
Yeah, so I've been watching it a little bit today. They're having a qualifying race. It's basically 100, I don't know if it's 100 laps or something like that, but basically a 2-hour race to set the field. And so it's cool to see the real cars on the track that we just spent a couple weeks preparing and 24 hours in a row driving, and to just recognize all the things just at a glance, the bus stop or turn one or International Horseshoe, all of that. You feel good seeing it on the big screen on TV.
Like, what were the names that were in there?
It's interesting. Kevin Magnussen jumped into the lead. He's a former F1 driver for Haas. So he's out there. There's a whole team of some of the top NASCAR guys, Jimmy Johnson, who's after, 25 years in NASCAR, is now going to drive IndyCar, and IMSA. So he was out there. Plenty of other big names are driving that IMSA. It's almost a little bit of a all-star race, really, the actual Daytona 24.
I hear it's quite a weekend to participate in.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting talking about big names driving. I think it legitimizes, you know, when I was telling friends we were doing this, I would say, hey, and by the way, there's some F1 drivers. And a lot of friends know F1 driver names. And so Romain Grosjean was in there, former Haas driver.
In the iRacing
Daytona. He was in the iRacing Daytona, yeah. But Fernando Alonso, Rubens Barrichello, Tony Kanaan. The thing that's interesting is a lot of those big name guys, they're incredibly fast, but not all of them finished. Fernando Alonso and Rubens Barrichello did. They finished second. But a lot of other big names crashed out. Max Verstappen.
They're doing these in teams of two?
No, Fernando and Rubens, they had a team of four, for example. Mm-hmm. They had an instructor from Driver 61 and an e-racer made up the other two spots in their team.
And did you watch any of their streams?
Yeah, I think even throughout the day, I kind of had them up when I wasn't driving. And then later that night, sat down in my rig and was able to just sit there and watch through iRacing Fernando Alonso's. He was driving. It's a whole different level.
Oh, wait a second. You mean you went into like the session and clicked the watch button kind of thing, and you were literally in their split watching the race and then using the replay component of it to find Alonso and sit in his cockpit with him kind of thing?
Absolutely. It was a really cool experience. And someone came on the radio, I didn't even think about this, but when you're watching like that, you can talk to the other spectators just like you would normally talk to drivers. And the only people that can hear you are spectators. And someone kind of said, hey, can anyone hear me? So I ended up having like a really good conversation. There were about 25 people watching through iRacing and had a great conversation with a guy. I recognize his name. We've raced against each other a couple times. And we were just talking. We were talking about iRacing. We were talking about watching Fernando, some of his techniques. So that it was just it was a perfect way to end the day.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know really you could do that.
Yep. Yeah, Rob, you know, microphones are a big part of iRacing. I think a lot of people communicate in-game. A lot of people communicate on Discord while they're racing, maybe jump on Discord with friends. You know, right now I'm actually using the microphone that I race with. You know, it sounds okay. Sometimes microphones don't sound that great in iRacing, and it can be a little frustrating.
I find it frustrating. I mean, you're in a session and some guy has a little microphone on the other side of the room, pushes this button to talk, and you don't know what he's saying.
And it could be, you know, friendly greeting. It could be, he could be insulting you and your family.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe you cut him off. Maybe he cut you off and you said, hey, come on, man. And then he gets on the radio and lets you know exactly what he thinks. And you don't understand him. And then you're in this awkward spot where you might've just gotten insulted. And so at that moment, I'm never sure, do I just take whatever insult he's made and just keep my mouth shut? Or do I say, sorry, man, what did you say? And I've been in that spot a few times. And then you kind of sometimes end up saying, I can't understand you. Your microphone isn't working. Yeah.
You obviously do not have a headset, and you don't need an expensive headset. You know, you don't need a $150 headset and microphone. You know?
I raced with a $25 one for a long time. And according to you, it sounded fine, right?
It sounded great. And you know, you need to have a decent microphone if you're going to chat with people, I think.
You know, and so setting the microphone aside, just the idea of chatting in iRacing, I think it can lead to good things. People can get pretty nasty. There's some funny people out there too. Sometimes I've raced some NASCAR and been just more entertained by the conversation than the racing. There's some characters out there. There's a lot of yellow flag racing during some of the NASCAR. So there's opportunity for just chit chat and someone will just start telling jokes or just have interesting observations. I enjoy that part of it sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that the chat component of it is, I don't know what to say, essential part of iRacing, but a really key part of the iRacing experience. And, you know, it is part of the community that you would not get if you did not have chatting with a microphone.
And it's interesting. You can almost tell when a race starts if it's going to be a race where there's a lot of conversation. So if people start the race and someone says, hey, good luck, guys. Careful in turn one. And then someone else says, hey, yep, good luck. Right. And if three or four or five people kind of say, good luck, you're like, okay, this group, we're off on the right foot. Everyone's kind of wishing each other luck. If no one says a word at the beginning of the race, pretty good indicator it's going to be a quiet race on the radio.
Well, another thing that I like about the microphone and iRacing in general, you know, we all have to use our real names when we're racing. I think they take it off your credit card or whatever, or however you're paying for it. So having the microphone, to me, makes it a little more accountable as well. Now, I don't think other people feel the same way, because a lot of people say a lot of stuff on iRacing that you probably wouldn't be saying to your next door neighbor.
It's kind of shocking what people will say, with full knowledge that everyone knows exactly who they are and exactly who they are, and that they'll probably see them again on the track. But yeah, I think do unto others as you would have them do unto you is not a bad rule for communication on iRacing.
Well, you and I from the get-go have taken a pretty positive maybe trying to add a positive spin to our interactions when we're racing. But when we're in like the Mazdas and that kind of stuff where everybody's learning, it doesn't make much sense to be barking at every person who, you know, does a dive bomb or makes some sort of mistake. It's worth having just like a, hey, just in case you're kind of aware that when you came out of the pit lane there and we're all flying around on our fast laps, that if you just waited a second, we could kind of get by. You don't need to jump in front of us right away and sort of burn our lap on us. And it's just kind of a general courtesy. And more often than not, I've had people say, hey, you know what? Thanks for letting me know that. I never really gave it much thought. It totally makes sense now. So right from the get-go, I think we were trying to remain positive within the service and not succumb to the name calling.
Well, and I think, you know, when you jump on, when you first arrive in iRacing, you don't know if people are going to be nice, if people are going to be insulting, and you kind of figure out they're going to be both. It kind of sets the tone. And you say, oh, that's how we treat each other around here. If someone's like, get the F out of my way, I can't believe that, you cut me off, you just ruined my world record lap, yeah. You know, it at Lime Rock in a Mazda, it's like, no, I don't think so. But so, it's good, especially when you're just getting started, if you're in those sort of entry level rookie races, to spread the positive vibes a little bit more than just screaming at people.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, everyone's learning, which reminds me, I think in the past, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you don't want to talk about it here, but I think that you wronged somebody at some point in a race, you ran into somebody or you wrecked some guy's race. And did you not send him like a $5 like iRacing gift card somehow or something like that?
Yeah, I did. And I got the idea because someone had completely cut me off in a race. They didn't do it on purpose, just like I didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't malicious. They felt bad. And I kind of said, oh man, you know, you ruined my race. And they said, I am so sorry. The next day I had a message from them and a $5 gift certificate as I sat down to race the next day. So I was like, oh, you know what? That's a nice thing to do. And so when I did that to someone else a month or two later, I paid it forward. Not saying I'm a hero, but it seemed like the nice thing to do. And
I think it puts a smile
on their face. Yeah.
I mean, I wish they made it really easy to do that, because I don't think it's a particularly easy thing to do now. You need to go into the old iRacing sort of website, track somebody down, go to the forum messages and so on. They really should just in the store have a button that, you know, push this, send this gift card to this racer, leave a note, bing. And, you know, I wouldn't be throwing them out left, right, and center, but there is no question that I would occasionally, if I really wrong somebody, like the guy a couple of weeks ago that I completely wrecked his race in the European Sprint Series that we talked about, I would have sent that guy $5 and said, sorry, buddy, go buy yourself a pint. You know, I just think that it would really set a nice positive tone within the community. And I think a pretty easy thing to do and probably a bit of a revenue generator in the grand scheme of things. And the more we can make this positive, the better it is for everybody, I think.
So last week I talked about the iSchedule app. And this week I have found another app that I think is interesting. It's called Racing Rivals. And it was actually $8. I did pay for it and downloaded it. You can actually just click a button, synchronize all of your races. Apparently, I've done 347 official events against 4,700 other iRacers along the way. And so I can see who I've raced against the most. And it turns out that is Rob Elliott II. And we have been in 66 official races together. And I can tell you that as of right now, your iRating is 1515. I'm 1340. You win most of these categories. Don't get a big head. I'm not the Fernando Alonso level driver, but yeah, the times we've run head to head, you've won 38, I've won 28. See if I can change that over the coming year. Average incidence is the one category that I've got you beat. So my average incidence per race is 5.6.
Okay, don't say what mine is.
6.8, not bad. But yeah, we're pretty close, but yeah, you've won most categories. So it's interesting. So when you see somebody and you say that name looks familiar, you can just flip over to Racing Rivals and you can see every detail, every race that you've ever been in with them. I haven't fully explored the app, but you can see what day you raced them, where you finished, where they finished in that race.
So what was that called again?
Yeah, it's called Racing Rivals.
Racing Rivals.
So not iRacing Rivals, but just Racing Rivals version 2. It's a free version, but it only pulls 20 races. And it was my very first 20 races, which weren't that interesting. They were my rookie races.
I will say back in May when we started out, and so we did the Mazda, you know, we all sort of progressed out of rookiedom and that into the D class. And then we could start doing the BMW 12 series, the 12.0 series, which, by the way, took me forever to realize that meant they were 12-minute races. But they were in the BMW M8 GTE. So we went from like the Mazda MX-3 and then maybe some Skippy or something into this GTE, and we're running around Lime Rock in GTE races with D safety rating racers. I look at that now and I think that was perilous.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy that we jumped straight into those cars. I mean, that car is a beast. If all you've ever done is, like you said, the Skippy and the Mazda, it was terrifying. Yeah.
What is on tap for next week? I have not even looked.
Yes. Next week, the VRS GT3 Sprint Series is at Imola. So classic track. IMSA will be at Suzuka.
Awesome. That's good. That'll be a fun week.
The baby IMSA is going to be at Daytona Road, but I may give that a pass. I spent a lot of time there recently. The European Sprint Series is at the Nürburgring Combined 24-hour variety of the track.
That's going to be a miss for me.
I'm not going to go there. Yeah, so I'm going to spend most of my time at Suzuka, maybe pop over and do a couple races at Imola. And yep. The F3s are at Belle Isle. I don't think I want to race an F3 at Belle Isle. That's a fragile car on a walled track. Don't think that's a good place to go.
You know, I'd like to turn a few laps at Panorama in the V8s. You know, two of our teammates for the 24-hour of Daytona are from Australia. And, you know, they're already talking about Bathurst.
I'm looking at it here, the Bathurst 12. It runs in the GT3 cars.
So I'd like to maybe spend some time at Mount Panorama. I did run a few laps there with Lee a few weeks ago, and sort of my first time there. I had bought the track, I'd never really gone there, and it was just giggles crazy.
So if you enjoyed the show, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to your podcasts.
And you can also go to anchor.fm/everydayiracers. It's all one word. And you can leave us a voice message and tell us what you think.
So see you on the track.